Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial. Because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like. And it gives you your best night's sleep. Night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale. Up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Watching Travis Hunter go back and forth.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Between different positions.
Picked off by Travis.
And different jerseys and prices. I've never seen anything like
Hunter. He wanted the ball and that's why.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I want to play both sides.
With guest host Tom Pelissero. Earlier on the show. Browns radio play-by-play voice Andrew Siciliano. Coming up. NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, plus latest news and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero sitting in for Rich once again, our host, I believe still in Paris. We did not get blow-by-blow, minute-by-minute updates from breakfast today. I assume you go back to the crepe, right? Once you've had the crepe, every day you're like, well, like I got to add one at the end here.
Or a croissant.
He did post some art. He was in an art gallery earlier today.
We got art.
This post is merely to show I am cultured AF. And then he throws Susie under the bus saying she wanted to go someplace else.
TJ, you know how there's like a thing, like how old is too old to wear Jordans? Remember when we got into that with Sebastian Maniscalco? How old is too old to use AF?
There is none.
How old's Rich?
There's no old.
56.
He's still
you
doing
can,
it.
Yeah, you could use it. He's fine. He's fine.
He's young at heart.
Really?
That's really
fine with that.
Really?
Fine
that's
with
really
that.
What
all right.
What matters.
I'm the oldest guy. He's fine.
I'm happy to be in the chair. I'm not going to say anything that's going to get me kicked out of the chair.
Yeah, watch out, Tom.
Like Grant Andrew Siciliano
in. Stop saying lit.
That left.
Lit.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything's lit. I can guarantee you that
lit.
Much.
You're out.
Andrew was just here, Siciliano, who was at the Shedeur Sanders extravaganza in Charlotte here. There is other quarterback news to get into quite a bit, actually.
There's a lot happening.
Veterans around the league mentioned it in the last segment. Matthew Stafford, not on the practice field again.
Jeez.
Uh-oh.
So to rewind here, 3 days ago he goes through a throwing session, like 65 balls, everything goes well, no restrictions. Sunday, Sean McVay says, hey, it went great. He'll be out there tomorrow doing some individual.
Yep.
Get to Monday, no Stafford. It's now Tuesday, no Stafford.
Well, the big thing Monday was the picture of the van. Or the Airstream.
What is it, a rejuvenation?
Airstream of silver
chamber. The Airstream.
This guy, look at this thing.
Look at that.
How do I get one of those?
Is it possible this entire Stafford thing is just an ad and he's an investor in this metal tube?
That would be incredible.
Hey, you know, I was, boy, they were going to have to amputate the whole spine. And then I got Amortal.
That's some 4D Jerry Jones level chest right there.
Like, look at that.
So amortal is similar to immortal, I assume. It's like you are anti-mortal, which makes you immortal, but it's amortal. Right?
According to their website, the taglines here are unlock your potential, transform your being. The amortal chamber is the fastest way to reset, recharge, and rejuvenate the body, mind.
It's a good read, Rockman.
Anything in there about fixing an aggravated disc?
Hold on a second. Let me scroll.
I think rejuvenation.
Yeah, nothing about discs.
I'll drink a rejuvenation smoothie. And it's usually just like, it's got some chia seeds in it. I don't need to get into a metal box and rejuvenate myself.
I don't know what's in there.
But if I have a bad back, which I did, I had something very similar to what Stafford apparently is going through here. And it was just a series of epidurals and additional MRIs and medical opinions until finally someone told me, you're actually fine. Just go live your life, but learn to stretch better. And then I started doing Pilates and I was cured. But
took like 8 months. Flex. The season starts in 3 weeks. Hence, immortal. We're ramping it up for Matthew Stafford. Jordan Love also sounds like not going to play the rest of the preseason.
Yeah, what's going on with Jordan Love?
Going to miss at least a week. Suffered what GM Brian Gutekunst described today as a ligament issue in his left thumb. So it's not his throwing thumb. That's the good news. If you're the coaching staff, I'm sure there's a level of frustration here. I mean, better than the right thumb. Apparently it happened when he got clipped with a helmet on a scramble in the preseason opener here. But you remember last year, it was a mess of injuries for Jordan Love, and it was nothing long-term, but he hurt the knee in the opener in Brazil against the Eagles, missed 2 or 3 weeks with that injury, then was kind of obligatory, then another injury later on. This isn't what you want, is missed reps for Jordan Love, but also, you know, this is probably the best case scenario, the worst case scenario, if you're going to get hurt right now. Because if this happens in the regular season, is Jordan Love playing this week? Maybe not. If you're holding him out for a week, and I assume that the thumb's got to go through a process and stabilize here, better to have it in August than happen in the regular season. But this is also why you still have some coaches who are just simply opposed to playing your guys in the preseason, especially your quarterbacks. Yep. Raheem Morris, once again saying today, nope, no Michael Penix this week. Raheem didn't play Michael Penix last year in the preseason finale as a rookie who wasn't even starting.
Yep.
That's how little Raheem, you know, for right or wrong, I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying that's how little he believes in preseason reps. Normally a rookie quarterback who, if things go differently than they did, is not going to see the field for the rest of the season. You're like, this is your time. Go out and take 40, 50 snaps. Like, let's see what you got here. Now Raheem also said, we'll see if Kirk Cousins plays this week. Doesn't sound like that is likely, but even the fact that you might roll Kirk out there and run the risk of him getting hurt and then being on the hook for $27.5 million until somebody, Rams, might call you and say, we'll take that money off your hands because we got an issue here. That seems like more of a risk than you're really wanting to take on at this point. Back in April, I was out here. It was pre-draft. And we decided, you know, it's mid-April, right? It was like April 10th. And, you know, we're 2 weeks out from the draft. It's kind of, we're in the cycle. We're past free agency. We're past a lot of the trades. And we got a couple weeks to the draft. And so we decided, fun exercise. Yep. You guys love top 10 lists. Every post-production meeting,
lists.
Brockman goes, can you do a top 10 list?
What do we got?
Do a top 5?
Can we come up with one? What do you got?
I did top 10 stories, storylines, to be sorted out for the rest of the NFL offseason. I think we framed it as sorted out potentially by the draft. So this is where we landed with the top 10 questions. We're going to review.
Oh,
we're going to check your work. On exactly where we were.
Let's go.
Number one question was, who will be Steelers QB1? That point did not have a commitment from Aaron Rodgers, and it was real. There was not a commitment there. He came around on it late May, early June, finally showed up for the minicamp here.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
That one obviously got resolved. No, don't stay by the phone with Aaron. Remember, he's got bad cell reception.
FaceTime.
You got to FaceTime him.
FaceTime.
That's the only way to get him. Number two, where does Shedeur Sanders land? I did not listen back specifically to that answer because I guarantee it wasn't fifth round to Cleveland. Now, I did leave open. There was a real possibility, as much as everybody to that point, and I think it was pretty clear by April 10th, Cam Ward was going to be the number one pick, but there was still enough discussion of, all right, QB2, that's set. Rich said that to me, I remember draft week, all right, QB2, who's QB3? And I said, I think the issue is who's QB2? Because you can find it every different way for those next four guys. We'll get to more on that in a second here. Shedeur, the question at that point was, does he go to the Giants at 3 or somewhere later if they trade back in? Does he go to the Steelers? Those are the only two teams that I believe I mentioned in that segment, because if he doesn't go to those two, I don't know where he's going. There is not a planet. There was not 1 second in my brain where I thought we're going to be sitting there on day 3 of the draft and this guy's still going to be on the board.
Crazy.
I then didn't think, after day 3 of the draft, we'd be sitting here going, should Shedeur be QB1 in Cleveland? This is how far along we've come. A lot of twists and turns over the last 4 months and change. Number 3 question at that time, back on April 10th, does Kirk Cousins get traded? No. That's still a no. There was already, remember, he's got a no trade clause, so he controls it. Do $27.5 million. The Falcons have been unwilling, were throughout the process. There hasn't really even been a lot of movement recently here. they were unwilling to take on much of that, if any, of that contract. So it was a tough deal to move. And then as some of the other puzzle pieces came together, you were left with a place where there's no spot for Kirk. The last spot was resolved with question number one when Aaron Rodgers commits to Pittsburgh, because the Steelers had gone down the road with Justin Fields, who ultimately chose the Jets. They were interested in Matthew Stafford, which, can you imagine if somebody traded for Matthew Stafford and then readjusted his contract and then he's not ready to play? It's a whole other can of worms than what we're talking about right here, because now you got draft capital out the window too. In the end, it didn't go that way. Steelers, they toyed with Russell Wilson. They really never came after him. He ultimately took the spot with the Giants because the Steelers couldn't tell him that we want you back. We're waiting on Aaron. Maybe we get to you. Yep. Right now we're waiting on Aaron. So Kirk, still a Falcon. Number four, does Trey Hendrickson get traded? August 12th, we are now. I just went a time warp in my own brain. August 12th, it still seems unlikely that Trey Hendrickson's going to be traded. I can tell you, they have gotten calls recently. They have gotten calls recently from other teams that could use a pass rusher. Who couldn't use the league in sacks?
Like a team like 30 minutes south of Boston, maybe?
They've gotten calls from multiple teams about Trey Hendrickson. And as much as they're in general agreement on the big numbers, the years, the total money, like that part's easy. They're not on the same page on the guarantees. That's what's been holding it up. Trey Hendrickson has made clear publicly and privately, I want a multiple year guarantee. I don't want to be back in the same spot in the year. The Bengals, whose history is we only guarantee the signing bonus. We don't guarantee anything else. We guarantee the initial bonus, nothing further. But they broke that with Joe Burrow. They broke it with Ja'Marr Chase. They bent it slightly with T. Higgins, although T. Higgins ended up doing a sub-market deal that in a year, he's probably going to be the one coming back going, yo. If he was healthy and he plays like this and he's making catches like, I saw the one in practice yesterday or 2 days ago and people were saying like, this looks like Randy Moss. Like, T. Higgins is legit. He just always seems to be, he's got a hamstring, it's going to be 3 weeks. That's been frustrating for him too. But if he comes back and has the type of year he can have, he's going to be the next one who's coming back to the Bengals and going, well, I can't be making $28 million a year now. What are we doing here? Trey Hendrickson still on the Bengals.
What do you put that percentage-wise, something gets done before week one?
It's the Bengals, man. That's the thing. They have adjusted their business principles, but in this case, they're sticking to, it's a 30, 31-year-old pass rusher, and we don't want to be stuck holding the bag 3 years from now or, you know, in 2027 if he's not the same guy. To which the response from Trey Hendrickson is, you just challenged me 2 years in a row, and I have 30 plus sacks over the last two seasons. I led the league. What more do you want to see? What evidence have I given you that I'm not going to be available? TJ Watt, who's the same age, they're separated by like a month in birth date. TJ Watt has been hurt. He's played through a lot, but he's missed time. Last year, he was banged up down the stretch. He didn't register, I believe, a stat in the Steelers' last three games. That's a guy who you're like, all right, hold on. TJ Watt's franchise player, one of the faces of the organization, future Hall of Famer. But are we wise to commit? What did he get? $100 plus million guarantee. Is this really a good idea to do this right now with TJ Watt? You don't have that. Trey Hendrickson, you certainly can argue he's not as freaky of an athlete as TJ Watt is. But production-wise and durability, he's been one of the best. So does it get done by week one? This is the same organization that basically forced Carson Palmer to retire and then traded him to the Raiders in the middle of the season. And then he went to Arizona and had a career renaissance and went on a deep playoff run there. A lot of different things can still happen. You'd say the smart money? Can't give gambling advice.
Wouldn't ask for it.
But the smart money, parochially speaking here, would be on something getting done. Okay. Number five on my list of top 10 questions entering draft weekend from April 10th. Will we see any other big trades? Well, the big one ended up being involving a draft pick. At that point, there was not a whiff of the Browns actually moving out of the number two slot. They ultimately felt like they got such great value getting a future first round pick, getting additional draft capital, that it made sense for them to go down, still get a solid player to help their defensive front in Mason Graham, and then let the Jaguars have a guy who their GM, Andrew Berry, 2 days before the draft compared to Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that's how highly thought of he is. We'll see how it works. I know Brockman thinks that Travis Hunter's going to be a big flop in Jacksonville and they're going to regret
what
it.
I said.
It's going to be one of the worst trades in NFL history.
Not what I said.
That's what I heard. We did have the Jalen Ramsey trade, although that ended up being months later. That was 4th of July week. Yeah, Darren Waller got traded the next day. Yeah. Those were pretty big trades. But Ramsey was already on the trade block at this point. I think we technically it wasn't public until maybe a week after that. I should remember. We're the ones who broke that story. But it was around that time. It was apparent that he was going to be potentially traded. But it didn't happen. There weren't those big veteran trades during the draft, right before the draft, like we've had in recent years. You did have some trickling down, and we still got some hanging out there. Number 6, this was an interesting one. Which wide receiver gets taken first in the 2025 NFL draft? We were not counting Travis Hunter.
Right.
He's in the unicorn category.
Sure.
At that point, Tetaroa McMillan was the one that had been talked about a lot through the process, but then he didn't run. Matthew Golden did run and ran really fast. And you had at least some variance in terms of what style of receiver do you want. It ended up being T-Mac at number 8 overall. And I remember getting a call, not going to say from whom, but the night before the draft, I'm at a pre-draft party with like the families of the players and things like that. T-Mac's on the dance floor just absolutely cutting a rug, like best dancer by far out there, just a cool kid all around. I talked to him last week at Panthers camp. I remember getting a call and walking back in and going, I think T-Mac's going to go number 8 to the Panthers. Like, it was pretty apparent. They were exploring all kinds of trades down, and they just weren't finding the type of value they thought. There were other teams that were going to come and take T-Mac probably right behind him, including the Cowboys, who were at 12. There might have even been a team that would have leapfrogged the Cowboys to go and get T-Mac. Panthers ultimately said, we're going to stand in and take this guy at number 8. And when you talk to people there, I was there, a week ago, time has stood still for me. It was sometime last week. And just talking to everybody there, they're all like, dude, like this guy every day.
Interesting.
The one-handed catches, the splash plays. He's also a really smart dude. And you see that when you talk to him. They've already cross-trained him. So what they're going to try to do is, because he's such a rare guy, he's not, I've heard like the Mike Evans comparisons. He's not really Mike Evans, because Mike Evans, besides the fact that he's a future Hall of Famer and has had 11 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
Something like that.
But he's also like a big physical, like he will push, especially when Marshawn Lattimore's across from him.
Of course.
Just getting a fist fight and maybe get ejected. But he's also like a big physical dude. T-Mac, one of the things they had to teach him in the early going, he realized right away, hey, you're going against J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson in practice. Like, those guys are going to have their hands all over you. Took about a week into camp, and then it was like, all right, I got to learn to do that stuff. He's more of a shifty type of a guy. You saw it in the preseason game, a big play down the field from Bryce Young. That's what you're going to see from T-Mac. They actually, not to digress on a Panthers tangent here, but you look at what they've got right now in their receiver group. You have Tetaroa McMillan, T-Mac. I can't say his name
T-Mac.
The way that he says
let's
it, so I'm just going to go with T-Mac.
T-Mac.
You have Xavier Leggett, who was top pick last year.
Who got ejected from a preseason game.
He was here. Yeah, I think he was the 32nd overall pick. But he is a big physical dude. You got Adam Thielen, who's still there and is now going into like year 14 or something in the NFL, which is unbelievable for a guy who got into the NFL he was out of Minnesota State Mankato. No one even thought that like he was a prospect. Shows up to the Vikings trial camp. Rick Spielman used to call it the Call of the Wild, where they invite everybody from every local college. There'd literally be like 150 guys in uniform. It was crazy. But they'd find like one or two guys every year. And I get a DM from some local kid saying, hey, Tom, like I follow you on Twitter. Just letting you know, like I'm signing with the Vikings. I'm like, oh, good for you, dude. That's really cool. Thinking, all right, I'll tweet this. Never see me. Adam Thielen is that guy. 14 years later.
Wow.
And millions and millions of dollars. It's turned out okay. But he's there. Hunter Renfro's there. They have Coker, who played well for him last year. They've got a lot of interesting parts around Bryce Young, not to mention they want to be a run-first team. They invested a ton of money in the guards last year. I think they're going to be an interesting offense to watch because you do have more weaponry than you had in the past. T-Mac ended up going there. Number 7, I'll speed this up a little bit. From April 10th, top 10 questions entering draft weekend. How many quarterbacks go in round 1? Mike Hoskins played that clip back for me earlier today. And again, the caveat I gave, the over-under was 2.5. At that time. And while I could not give gambling advice,
we wouldn't ask for it.
That was my caveat on the whole thing was Cam Ward is going 1. Beyond that, we don't know. But I thought it would be either 2 or 3 in some combination of whether it was Shadur, Dart, Milrow, and Shuck would end up going in the first. It ended up being the under. It ended up being Dart, who the Giants trade up for. That was the round pick 20, somewhere around there. Can't remember the exact number.
Pick 20.
There you go. Number 20. Shuck ended up going 40. That was QB3. Then you had a long wait till you got to Dylan Gabriel, who snuck in there, and Jalen Milroe, among other quarterbacks, before Shadur in the fifth. Number eight question, who will be the Vikings' other quarterback, was the way it was framed. So that actually did. That is one trade that did get done during the course of the draft, which was them bringing in Sam Howell as number two. There were still at that time people pushing the idea that Aaron Rodgers was waiting for J.J. McCarthy to fall on his face in OTAs, which was just not the case. Aaron Rodgers, Kevin O'Connell have known each other a long time. And they had conversations about it, absolutely. It's a four-time NFL MVP, you have that conversation. But they had committed to J.J. McCarthy. So who's the backup? Something happens to J.J. again. Sam Howell, now that guy in Minnesota. Weird tangent on that. I was at the league meeting there in May, I think it was, the spring league meeting. And I'm walking through the hotel, and all of a sudden I'm like, Sam? It's just Sam Howell. And I was like, that's right. And like, I had interviewed him so many times at the Senior Bowl. I hadn't seen him since, but I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Sam, that's right. He's here now. And he's living out of the hotel. It's a weird life, man. If you're not a starting quarterback in the NFL, things can get weird really quick. You're all rooting for the Sam Darnold story, which Darnold went from the Jets to the Panthers to the 49ers to the Vikings, now to the Seahawks. And it took him a solid, how many years is that? 6 years? 7 years to get his real opportunity in Minnesota?
Yeah, he was, 2018 draft?
And if J.J. McCarthy doesn't tear up his knee in the preseason opener last year, you have him breathing down Sam Darnold's neck last year. It's wild how that happens. Yeah. We saw it with Baker Mayfield, who went Cleveland to Carolina to the Rams to the Bucks. I think that's it, right? Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And that's what it took for Baker Mayfield to get it. Maybe that's what's out there for Sam Howell. Everybody loves Sam Howell, the dude, and he's super tough and he can run. It's just a little bit undersized. So that's, you could see Sam Howell starting again, although the Vikings don't hope so, because that means something happened to J.J. McCarthy. Number nine, where do big name free agents land? The only one of the names I mentioned when we played it back this morning was Keenan Allen. I said, does he end up back with the Chargers? Yep. It took 4 months. We're back. And number 10, will Green Bay win the draft? The answer was yes, because I was talking about the city of Green Bay. They absolutely won the draft. My one regret in that segment, we played it back this morning. I said, I'm not talking about if you draft a wide receiver in round one. We all know that's not happening. You got me. Brian Gutekunst.
Bam.
Matthew Golden to Green Bay.
Looks awesome so far.
We got Greg Olsen coming up right after this. He's got the Sam Darnold debut for the Seahawks against the 49ers in week one. We got a ton of stuff to get into with one of the best analysts in television. Greg Olsen with us next. Tom Pelissero in for Rich.
Listen, the way you sleep is unique to you. And that's why having a Sleep Number smart bed is so crucial, because you can adapt to your changing needs for just right. Can't wait to nestle into bed, luxurious comfort. So whether you need softer or firmer, cooler or warmer, you are never stuck. You can adjust your comfort whenever you like, and it gives you your best night's sleep, night after night, year after year. I love my smart bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. Just 10 numbers apart, but it means the world of difference, because I can change my side of the bed to however firm or soft I want. And the same thing for Suze. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Again, so you can sleep just the way you like. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year is here. All beds on sale, up to 50% off the limited edition smart bed, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store or sleepnumber.com for details.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO at checkout.
I thought to myself, okay, in the few minutes that are here, let me write an Ed Hockley retirement letter and read it out on the air. We then post it on the Rich Eisen Show feed exclusive. The number of people that retweeted it and said they thought it was real is alarming, is the only way to put it. So, God bless him. You know how much we love SVP.
to me.
Is Scott on the line now? Is Scott there?
Yeah.
You thought it was real.
Well, I mean, as you said, you are a guy that has a reputation. You work at the NFL Network. You got sources. And when it was brought up to me in our meeting, hey, did you see the letter Hockey Lee wrote? And I thought, well, that's funny. And then later, as I'm trying to write this script, I'm not finding it anywhere on, like, Google searches or whatever. But I'm like, where'd y'all see that? And then the producer that had it is like, oh, it's on Eisen's feed. So I read your feed, and I'm like, there it is. I see the quotes that work, and I just slam it in there on the script and read it on television. Fake news. Fake news.
Hashtag, yes. Hashtag fake news.
I'm mortified. Apologies to Mr. Hoxby.
I'm sorry. We did not.
No.
That was not our intent.
Yeah, we didn't know it was going to happen like that.
That's entirely on us for not vetting. And it's been an alarm bell that goes off to me that I'm not able to find this anywhere but there. But again, and this is where I'll turn it and point at you and blame you, Rich Eisen. When you're a source of, you know, information and you got stuff no one else got, you think, yeah, sure, okay. He's got the Hockley retirement letter.
And it's, I guess, believe that he's got his own stationery with himself on it, with his watermark of him as a rat.
As believable as it is that he's going to go sort out the lactic acid with a stretching regimen.
Vigorous regimen. Vigorous regimen.
I beg your pardon. Yeah.
You're the best, man. You're the best. I'm sorry.
You're the worst. Don't spoof me like that.
We did have one other piece of veteran quarterback news. A short time ago, coming out of the New York Jets.
You think we need one more?
Jets coach Aaron Glenn announcing Tyrod Taylor having a knee procedure. Hope he's back week one, but they'll see. No more preseason for Tyrod Taylor.
No.
Again, Tyrod Taylor, who has had more ill-timed injuries maybe than any quarterback I can remember.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Keeps coming back. Great guy. He's a pretty efficient quarterback when he plays. I mean, he was the quarterback on the Buffalo team that went to the playoffs in 2017. Yeah, I mean, he's got some things that he's accomplished in this league. Here's my question for you. Brockman, I'm going to test you on this. Don't look. Don't cheat. Eyes up. Name another quarterback besides Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor on the Jets roster.
All right, so TJ loves Mike White, but we saw him play for Buffalo.
Correct.
Over the weekend. Can I get a hint?
One was an undrafted free agent who played at, I think, Kansas State years ago. Okay. And the other one was drafted, played at an SEC school. This year was drafted this year. Drafted this year from an SEC school. TJ, jump in if you got it.
One of the good SEC schools or...
And I bring this up because if Tyrod's not ready to go week one and you don't acquire somebody else, this is the guy who will be in the lineup for the New York Jets.
If Justin Fields goes down. Can you name
either of these quarterbacks?
No, absolutely not.
I will give you.
I have no clue.
I will give you initials.
Okay, great. Okay. Here we go.
The initials of the quarterback who is an undrafted free agent.
And we're talking about the Jets,
ago.
Right? The Jets.
Or the Jets. Okay. Initials are A.M. Played at Kansas State, is on the Jets roster.
Austin Matthews.
Okay, that's... No, that's...
that's a hockey player.
That's not it.
All right, hold on. A.M.
This is...
Nope.
This guy is...
Nothing
this
is coming
like, try, this is like you that. Not being able to name the vice president. Like, this guy's one step away from having the nuclear codes. Something happens to Justin Fields right now. This guy could be played.
A.M. This is the Kansas State guy?
Played at Nebraska and Kansas State. I'm looking at
Adrian Martinez.
Adrian Martinez is the answer.
See, if you had said Nebraska, I would have got it.
Currently listed as the number three quarterback. All right, now.
I knew that answer.
This guy was drafted. This guy was drafted this year from an SEC school.
All right, which one?
Initials are B.C.
There's so many now.
One step away. Justin Fields gets stepped on again. This guy is playing in week one against the Steelers. If Tyrod's not ready to go.
Coming off the knee procedure.
B.C.
Blake Corum.
Wrong school, conference, position, and name.
Did they play in the bracket last year?
They did not play in the bracket. I have interviewed his head coach on this show.
Oh, my God.
His head coach's first name is Eli.
Yes, I do remember that.
No idea.
Oh,
not going to get it.
I gave you the initials.
His last name's Cook.
There you go. Cook. I'm gonna give
that
TJ count, credit.
That counts.
Brady Cook.
Never heard of Missouri quarterback. Cook. Never Brady heard of Cook. Cook. He was a legit player drafted.
Missouri. No one thinks about Missouri as an SEC school.
He was undrafted. I thought he went in the seventh. He was undrafted.
Right.
I'm sure that's what threw you off.
Brockman didn't get
that was the issue. Yeah,
come on, Tom. Get it right.
This could be an entire game. We could do a full 3 hours on just trying to name the third string quarterbacks on roster.
That would be after like
because other
the 30th
than,
minute.
Unless it's like a Detroit where you kind of know because they're going through it where Hendon Hooker's out there.
Right.
And now year three, coming back. He had the knee at Tennessee. The fun player watch.
I could do Cleveland. Cleveland's easy.
Cleveland, there's six on the roster right now.
I'm constantly talking about these guys.
Cleveland, I think everybody can go six deep on that roster.
Exactly.
Hang on. And by the way, Greg Olsen is going to join us shortly here. I don't know if Greg Olsen could go three deep on every one of these rosters.
He probably could.
He's calling the Seahawks game in week one.
I mean, I don't even know who the Pats third string is after Josh Dobbs.
Hold on. Seahawks depth chart right now. Something happens to Sam Darnold.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, this is an easy one. You should know these. One guy's back there.
Oh, God.
And one guy was drafted this year.
I
mentioned him on this show.
Matt Flynn.
No. I saw them play the other day,
Matt
so I know
Flynn,
this.
Tavares Jackson, Russell Wilson.
Tavares Jackson,
that was 2012,
Brockman.
This guy was drafted this year. I talked about him on this show today.
TJ, you go.
Oh, it's Drew Lock and Jalen Milroe. Because I watched them.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe honestly should just be the starter.
All right, 49ers. 49ers depth chart. Can you name another quarterback besides Brock Purdy on the depth chart of the 49ers?
Absolutely.
They currently have three more.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, one you should be able to get. I know
one
for
you
fact.
Should
he
definitely.
Plays on the Rams. I know that.
One, Brockman, if you can't get this,
oh my God.
I think we have to ask you to leave the show for the rest of the day.
I'm just going to say this. Faux life.
No, I know. Mac Jones.
Faux
Mac
life.
Jones is on the roster. They also drafted a quarterback. The 49ers drafted a quarterback. Who is that quarterback?
School.
Yeah, give him a hint.
He's conference.
Come on.
He was in the college football playoff
this year.
Top four teams?
Sets in.
Initials KR. You have 5 seconds because Greg Olson's here.
Oh, Curtis Rourke.
Curtis Rourke.
Oh, TJ
Jefferson just dominated.
TJ.
What I have to say was one of the great 4-minute drills we've ever run on this show. As we awaited the arrival of our guy, Greg Olsen, right here. Greg, thank you very much. I'm not going to test you on third, fourth string quarterbacks, but we figured just in case a lot of things go wrong in your week one game, the 49ers and the Seahawks. We wanted to know who was going to be able to step in. How you doing, buddy? How's everything going?
Yeah, I'm glad you're not testing me on that. I'm getting ready for the Bills Bears preseason game this Sunday that I have up in Chicago. And, you know, as anyone who's ever participated in a preseason game, it's really going to test your knowledge of NFL roster depth. So you just pray that as many starters at least give you a series or two as they can, because with these roster sizes not being cut down like in years,
right,
like it used to be in the old days, it's certainly a challenge.
You're going to see a lot of Tyson Bagent in that game, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully his dad's around, get to see one of the great arm wrestlers of all time, and the guy who handed me the worst loss I've ever had at anything in my life when I arm wrestled him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago here. So
Greg,
you got a lot going on, including the launch of Youth Inc. today. It's a content and commerce platform, and you got some cool stuff coming in terms of your guests. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so it's cool. So it's kind of a two-pronged approach that we're trying to tackle here in the youth sports space. The content piece was something we've been kind of exploring for a couple years now. And as a dad of young kids who coaches a lot of their teams, both my sons and my daughter, I grew up playing for my dad. He was my high school football coach. So like this has been my world my whole life. And I found myself saying, I don't know what we're doing. Like youth sports, I don't recognize youth sports anymore for middle school and high school and younger kids. Like it doesn't feel like it used to. And we're going to go out and find out why. And we've had some really cool conversations. Today, our episode with Tom Brady launches. We got Malcolm Gladwell and CJ Stroud and Ryan Day and you know, world best-selling authors to mental sports psychologists like Michael Gervais, athletes, coaches. And then on the other side of that, through the education and the entertainment, through the content piece, we've also said, listen, there's a huge disconnect in the experience for families as far as supporting their children's teams through fanware and team gear. If anyone's ever tried to buy a sweatshirt through their kid's school or travel baseball team or whatnot, it is not the same experience as you would get, you know, going to buy a Panthers, you know, jersey or a t-shirt or something more college or pro oriented. So we're trying to take that model and bring it down to the youth sports. So you can go on there, find your team, find your high school and buy premium high quality stuff, all customized with your kid's high school team or middle school team's logo. So we're looking to kind of take on that youth sports commerce platform that doesn't really exist at any significant scaled level. And we think the ability to provide this content as a consumer facing brand awareness kind of acquisition type piece, the two aspects of the company go very well together. And overall, just trying to improve the experience of everybody that's participating in the youth sports atmosphere.
I've had a lot of thoughts about this subject, Greg, in recent years, because I got two daughters. They're 11 and 8. The 8-year-old is kind of just coming into it and getting really excited about the sports. And frankly, the 11-year-old kind of lost some level of interest because you had this very early splintering of your friends who are good at soccer are going to go play club, and it is going to be year-round, basically one long season, and they're practicing four times a week, and they're going and driving to games. Or you stay in the house league, which is just kind of, it's the same team. It's like the same club that puts it on, but it's just kind of this smattering. There's no officials. It's parent coaching. Like, there's no in-between. I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s. I think I'm a little older than you, but it was like you played in your house league, but you played basketball, and then you played baseball, and then you played football. And you had this rotation, and everyone you knew did that. And it was like fifth or sixth grade before there was even like weekend travel stuff. How much is that in your mind and through your conversations altered the dynamic surrounding youth sports?
Oh, it's everything. What you just said is happening in every American city at every age level. And it's just getting younger and younger and younger with each passing year. What used to not happen for the specialization that used to happen late in high school for some people, that's now happening in elementary and middle school. And it's really, of course, it's the adults, right? We're not creating environments. We're not creating spaces that tolerate, but more important, encourage kids to say, this is the time to go out there and explore what you like. You don't have to make your decision on what sport you are as a 10-year-old girl. I don't know what you're going to be good at. I don't know what my 12-year-old son is going to be good at when he's 17. How big is he going to be? How strong? What's his level of interest? Does he rather hang out with his girlfriend? Does he want to go with his butt? Like, we don't know any of these things yet. We're trying to rush these decisions. So it's a huge area of the conversations that we're having. And, you know, I had it with Malcolm Gladwell, who's obviously written some of the most pioneering literature on just exploring, you know, from his outliers to leadership things like talking to strangers. I mean, just some of the books that he's written in that space are just so relevant to the conversation, and to be able to sit down with him and really get these answers, you know, talking to Tom Brady about his early childhood specialization or lack thereof. So yeah, what you're saying right now is the inspiration and a big part of why we're going on, because I don't have a lot of the answers. I know what I'm experiencing with my three children versus what I want it to be versus what it is, are not always aligned. But we're going to have a major reckoning here in America. We're going to have a major reckoning at high schools, because they're going to have a hard time filling all of these different teams' rosters every season. Because if every kid in the school just plays one sport, you're inevitably, unless you're a 3,500 kids school and you just have a million kids at the school and you can support it, you're going to find high schools now just dropping sports because you just don't have enough kids to share if everyone's only playing one sport. So I challenge coaches, I challenge administrators and parents to say, regardless of what everyone else is doing, we're not going to tolerate that. I'm the baseball coach. I want you to go play football. I'm the football coach. You should walk into the gym after the state championship and go play on the high school basketball team in front of your school. Like, that's the way it should be. It's healthy. It's good for them mentally. It's good for them physically. And the pressure and expectation that the adults are putting on kids, that if you don't just play for me, you're going to get left behind. I think it's very dangerous. And again, it's not in the best interest of the kids.
My favorite part of Outliers is in like the first 10 pages where it's the hockey roster and everyone's born in January. Yeah. And I'm like, I knew it. If I were born 2 months earlier, I would be a world-class athlete. Instead, I'm sitting here behind this desk. All right, a couple of hard-hitting football questions for you here, Greg. I know you know Travis Kelce well through, you know, tight end university and everything. Can we show the photo of Kelce on the GQ cover? What I really want your breakdown of this right now, Greg. Tell me about what you're seeing here from Travis.
Listen, if there was a guy in the world, forget in the NFL, if there was a guy in the world who should be on the cover of GQ with whatever that animal, whatever that animal is around his neck, I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know how much they're into animal rights. I don't personally care, but I'd be curious. He is made for that. Like he has, when you're around Travis, forget how good he is on the field. And I've gotten to know him personally really well. Like, I did not see that one, but he's just so comfortable. He's so authentic. Like he just is that guy. He's everyone's best friend in every room he's in. He makes everybody feel like you've known him for 20 years. He's comfortable wherever he is in his own skin. Like I can just see him down in South Florida in the Everglades or wherever they're doing this, just completely embracing everything about this photo shoot. And if that's me in that outfit holding a crocodile or an alligator, assuming like I'm stiff, I'm awkward, I'm uncomfortable. Like that's just Travis. And he is just as good of a player as he is. He's that good of a dude. He's fun to be around. He's great to your kids. He's great to your family. Like, he's just that guy, and I've really enjoyed getting to know him over the last couple of years at a personal level and just being around him and spending time. And he's arguably one of the most popular, famous people in the world right now, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy.
You look at, you know, some of the quotes in the article, and on a serious note here, he talked about the last 2 years weren't up to his standard, which, you know, everybody reaches a certain point, Greg, in their career where it's just like you might not be that same guy anymore. And as much as you say that's below my standard, that might be the new standard. When you look at Travis, or for that matter, some of these other really veteran tight ends in the league, guys like George Kittle, who are at kind of a different stage in his career, you're around all these guys, you see them. Like, what do you envision for them here in 2025?
Yeah, so I think Travis is kind of a victim of his own success. I think he ended his streak of 1,000 yards at 7. It was unheard of for guys to go that the level of consistency and production year in and year out, especially at a position like tight end where there is such attrition and injury rates and just the falling off the other side of the cliff in your mid-30s is pretty much the standard. He was defying all of that for the position. So then all of a sudden you don't get 1,000 yards a couple seasons in a row and people lose their minds. But I think when you look at what he's done in the postseason, what he's done, obviously in the regular season throughout his career, I mean, he's approaching the conversation. I think he's already there as when he retires, being the best guy to ever play the position. And I don't think I ever would have expected that. When I was coming up, it was Tony Gonzalez and then Gronk kind of got onto the doorstep, and the longevity of Travis with the production. I never thought anybody would ever catch a Tony Gonzalez, because you're talking 17, 18 years of that level. It was unheard of. That's Travis. And then you factor in postseason success, Super Bowls, all the records that he has in the playoffs. His career really stands on its own. But, you know, the guys like Kittle and Kelce and those guys are just different. You know, they're just uniquely talented, their work ethic, their expectation that they hold of themselves. You just can't coach that. You can't teach that, right? There's a lot of guys in the league you can coach to run routes, but you can't find guys that just hold themselves to that level of expectation and accountability year in and year out and can play like that. So those guys are special. I think we've got a young crop of tight ends that are coming up behind them and have a chance, like Brock Bowers and Laporta and some of these young guys that have come in to the league the last couple of years. This could be a golden age of the NFL tight end position, as far as just across the board, every team pretty much has a legitimate guy. And that was not the case when I came into the league early in my career.
And as a reminder, a lot of those guys you just mentioned played multiple sports when they were kids, and it worked out just fine for them in the long run. Youth.inc is where you can find out more about Youth Inc. podcast and a brand that is being launched today by Greg Olson. Greg, thanks a lot for the time, man. Great seeing you.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
It's a fascinating thing with the tight ends and with a guy like Travis Kelce, because you watch it, and for him to say it himself, you just watch Travis Kelce on the eye test, and it looked different in the past couple of years. But time is undefeated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody hits that certain point here. Does he have one last special season? And that might be the maximum that he has. For right now, he's holding alligators shirtless in a field of lily pads. I assume there's more from this photo shoot. We could do the final hour of the show on that.
Sure,
backup quarterbacks and alligators. Here we go. I'll actually do a lot more other stuff than that.
What are your feelings now that Alex Smith has been unofficially traded away, to use phraseology here?
It's awkward. It's awkward. I honestly don't know how to really accept it. I mean, my entire career, you can't say Travis Kelce without Alex Smith. I mean, he's been my quarterback. He's been the guy that's I owe a lot of my success to him, you know? So it's going to be awkward going into a huddle, like I said, with anybody but Alex, but I know Pat is ready for the opportunity.
Sure.
He's taking a lot of mental reps and a lot of notes from Alex and how this thing should be ran. Alex ran to an absolute T this past season, and you know, obviously everyone's excited to see what he can do.
Well, how did you learn about it yesterday? The trade?
Twitter. Yeah, my girlfriend called me and told me what's going on with Alex, and sure enough, I went on Twitter, and everything told me that he was being traded to Washington.
Now, you know, we don't usually get into the personal life here on the show, but is this the young lady from Catching Kelce?
This is not the young lady from Catching Kelce.
So it was Catching Kelce.
We just need to put that show in, the archive. It was a fun show, but it really wasn't that fun afterwards. And,
So it was Catching Kelce and release.
Yes, catch and fumble Kelce.
Yes.
The
relationship did not survive the ground, is what you're saying.
It didn't. But now we have a catch.
Amazing. Okay.
We have a catch. We might have a touchdown.
So there's a celebration dance then of
some
sort.
There will be if further review. It's under review. The catch is under review. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. The red challenge flag still in the pocket for Travis Kelce here on the Rich Eisen Show. And look, Mahomes, we had Chris Harris of the Broncos on game day morning in the playoffs. And he said, when he was looking at film of Mahomes, and he played a couple of series against him, he says this kid's got some serious ability. The Broncos said that.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything of that note yet?
Without a doubt. I mean, what he does in practice is it's fun to watch him in practice, because kind of he's on the scout team, kind of just being a backyard quarterback, throwing it all every way imaginable you can think of, sidearm, underhand. Chuck putting the ball anywhere on the field. So it was definitely fun watching him in that regard. And like I said, it's going to be exciting to see where he can go with it, because the expectation is definitely high.
Travis Kelce, that's 7.5 years ago right there with Travis Kelce on the Rich Eisen Show during Super Bowl week. I think the day after Alex Smith, they had agreed to trade him away to Washington at the time. Travis Kelce, at that point, cool guy, pretty big celebrity. Had that Catching Kelce show that was
like an E. Was that? It was like E before channel?
That was when his star was like. He was just kind of coming into his own as a football player, but obviously had aspirations and things like that. We've gone from that Travis Kelce, again, cool guy, good looking guy at that point, to this from GQ. That's a transformation. Let's bring the snake one up real quick too, because the snake. This is the one that really gets me.
I should recreate these photos.
That might be the hair I'm going for, too. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. So Travis Kelce, we said Greg Olson on talking about Kelce. And I've heard some of the same stuff, that this is a motivated Travis Kelce, that in terms of the type of shape he's in, where at times it looks like he was almost heavy, he's kind of pacing himself, that he's looked good through the course of this offseason here. But it's funny, I think a day before the GQ shoot drops, Andy Reid was talking about distractions and saying this.
Well, you know, you understand, because there were so many close games. But that's the National Football League. So I was proud of the guys and how they handled those. And when it's all said and done, it's winning the game. And we have winners, and they figured it out. And so I was proud of them for that. And we don't listen to all the noise. I mean, you know, if you do that, you're going to go crazy. Then you're not going to have fun, right?
But you don't use the noise?
I don't care about the noise.
That's why I love
just
you.
Let's go win the game.
And the thing about noise is, this isn't bad noise. The Chiefs have had plenty of bad noise surrounding them. Various run-ins legally and injuries and things. Travis Kelce playing dress-up? Not all bad. Now, there's inevitably going to be people who look at just everything here. Going all the way back over the last couple of years and just say, was anything related to, you know, conditioning or the play? The fact that he's in the highest profile relationship maybe in the world right now.
Yeah.
But it also might just be he's getting older. Nobody's sustaining that level of play at that stage in life. And if he does come out and have that type of year, he'll be defying a lot. Now, this is also a Chiefs team that found ways last year. And I have said many times, and I will continue to say, Patrick Mahomes may be the greatest player we've ever seen. I believe he's the greatest player I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know that, Brockman, you're going to chime in with the guy who won 7 Super Bowls, which is a completely fair argument.
That guy.
But the things that we see Patrick Mahomes do, the way that he lifts everybody consistently, the freaky stuff that he can do. Tom was the most ruthlessly efficient player I think we've ever seen, certainly that I've ever seen, just in terms of the way that he could dissect things, just the level of just everyday commitment to, I'm going to beat you with my brain, and I'm going to be the smartest person who's ever played the game, and I know exactly how we're going to do this, and all the little nuances and things that they were able to do that came from effectively being in one offense for 20-plus years. Patrick Mahomes has one of the greatest offensive minds of all time in Andy Reid, who certainly has helped him along. Tom Brady had Bill Belichick there for a long time, too, who taught him everything there was to know about defenses. But with Mahomes, you watch this. Remember, Tom went through a stretch of a decade where he did not win a Super Bowl. And they had some good teams, but there was a long window there from the 04 to 14 seasons, I believe it was, where he did not win a Super Bowl. We've already seen Mahomes, of course, put several trophies in the case. Now the question becomes here, as you're getting to that new stage with the Kelces, as Chris Jones is getting older, still playing at a high level, but getting older, they've done a good job being proactive, moving on from guys like Tyreek Hill and winning a couple of Super Bowls after they traded away one of the most dynamic weapons in the NFL.
But their offenses look drastically different without Tyreek Hill.
Well, you're thinking, and this part worked, they got the draft capital and they got the cap space to completely remodel their defense and to a degree their offensive line. What you're also betting on is, hey, we're going to draft and sign all these receivers, and they as a collective will be able to elevate them. That's hard to do when they're all hurt.
Mm-hmm.
When every one of them, Rashee suffered a major injury last year. Yeah. You had, you know, Xavier Worthy, who they drafted in the first round last year, a little bit banged up.
Hollywood was out
for almost the entire season. Yep. You know, you've had Juju Smith-Schuster coming and going. You're trying to find some consistency. One of the things they were most excited about going into this offseason, from what I was told, was, hey, we've at least got kind of the same guys back. Well, once again, some of them have not been on the field. Then you throw on top of it the possibility, if not probability, of a Rashee Rice suspension. You have some of the same concerns, which is where you're hoping, if you get the best Travis Kelce, maybe this time don't save it for January. Well, you'd use it in September.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it. See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.